the first reading from Mark 15. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asks him, "You have no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now, at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to him, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having Jesus scourged, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And when they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left, and those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests and the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled. Continue with hymn number 444. When the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, "My God, why have you forsaken?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "Behold, he's calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the centurion of the temple, when the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James the Younger, and of Joseph and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him, and there were also many other women who came up with him from to Jerusalem. And when the evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you in peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever watched an older cat that happens upon a mouse, or even better, a vole, or some type of small rodent? The young cat will jump and pounce around. It'll drop it right at your feet and excitedly brush against your leg. But that old cat is just going through the motions. Maybe it'll stand up if the little thing is sprightlier than it originally thought. But that old cat is more likely to have taken the fight out of the mouse early, just to set it between its paws. And while it gives you a plaintive stare, if the rodent attempts to move, a lazy paw will lift and bat it around a little bit and drag it back. As the cat stares at you, "Look, I've done my job. Are you going to do yours? Oh, you want a little more show? Okay. Bat, bat. Oh, look, it almost got away. Clever rodent. Stomp. Isn't this fun?" As it plops down again and gives you a contemptuous stare. The perfect picture of contemptuous power. The chief priests and the Sanhedrin are more like those young cats. They're frisky and jumpy. They make extraneous movements and dramatic crouches and lunges. "Are you the Christ?" "I am." And the chief priest rips his clothes. "You've heard the blasphemy." It's still a kangaroo court. There's no doubt what they're going to do to Jesus. But it's still so exciting. We've got one, a false prophet. We're going to do the job with great verve. But Pilate is not a young cat. They rouse Pilate early in the morning, the chief priests and the elders and the scribes and the whole council of young cats. All the young cats who have been busy all night, and they've plopped Jesus in chains right between the feet of the old cat. So Pilate, still waking up with his morning coffee, turns slightly amused and slightly boring eyes to Jesus and asks, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Imagine that setting. Surrounded by all of the high-status Jews, Pilate is having his own private chuckle. Staring at them, they're all excited. "You're king, I see." Jesus' response isn't that of a playful mouse. He's not going to try and escape. He knows the score. If anything, he might play along a little with Pilate. He simply says, "You have said so," knowing full well that Pilate doesn't say so. All Pilate knows is he's got a beat man in chains in front of him and a bunch of young cats. And those young cats don't realize that they're in the old cat's game, because they start jumping and crouching and throwing charges at Jesus. And the old lazy cat turns his gaze to Jesus and says, "See how many charges they are bringing against you? You make me no answer? Come on, Jesus, make this a little interesting for me. Try and escape. Make a countercharge. Protest your innocence. Everybody tries something, begging at least." But he made no further answer, which heightened the old cat's curiosity. This is something different. So the old cat decides to expend some energy. "I remember how I used to play with these things. Maybe I can keep this one alive a little bit longer. Didn't I release one free each year about this time? Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" And the young cats provide his entertainment, whipping up the crowd. Oh, what fun for the old cat. "But what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" "Great fun. I don't call him that, but he's your king. You sure you want me to do something? I can give you your king." Look at the passion over such a rodent. And they cried, "Crucify." "But what has he done?" "Look at the poor rodent. Your leaders are just envious. From what I understand, he's your savior. Surely you don't want me to torture and to kill an innocent man." But they shouted all the more, "Crucify." Having had his fun, it's no longer interesting. "They got me up early and it's time for a nap." Wishing to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released to them Barabbas, a murderer. Who really cares? "I'm bored." And he hands Jesus over to be crucified. The last picture we have of Pilate is in the evening. Joseph of Arimathea took courage and approached that old cat. "May I have the body?" And Pilate was surprised that Jesus was already dead. Maybe not as much life in that rodent as I thought. But he checks with the centurion, and the centurion nods, and Pilate gives the body. It's the least he could do for the man who had given a moment's fun to an old cat. Jesus is the one who always gives the appropriate answer to the appropriate audience. Jesus always gives the word. And to the Jews who knew or should have known what they were talking about, When they ask him if he is the Messiah, he answers, "I am." The challenge to them was, could they see? If you know, if you've had the law and the prophets and the temple worship and everything that should have prepared you, can you see? Can you see Emmanuel, God with us? Could you see the suffering servant before you? Can you see, just as the Messiah will come in the clouds of heaven with great power, he has also come on humility, riding a donkey? Can you see that he is the I am of all of it, the sustainer of life's rich pageant? And he'll not spare himself from it. Loving his creation when it's full of food and wine, and loving his creatures when they offer him bitter. To the Gentile Pilate, Jesus is largely silent. His silence says to him, "You're the magistrate. You're the one sitting at the right hand of power right now. Let's see how you do on your own. Do you use the authority given to you wisely? Or is it given for mere amusement? Do you recognize innocence as something to be protected? Or is it just a plaything? Do you recognize that you will have to give an account? Or do you imagine yourself unaccountable? Your own laws, Pilate, that you take so much pride in, are they real, or are they just a pretext for power? The show is yours, Pilate. Show us who you are without divine help." Of course, all of these have an absolute failure of vision. They're a mirror to hold up for us. If we are baptized and confirmed and confessing disciples, can we see? It's easy to see Christ in the power and the glory, but can we also see him in the suffering, in the hungry, in the prison? Maybe even tougher. It's easy to be a disciple when we ourselves are riding off. Can we be a disciple when the road goes to Golgotha? And the road always goes to Golgotha. We know that. We've been taught. Can we rest in the love of God, meeting Christ there, at the foot of that cross? Or do we rip our clothes and declare this blasphemy? This is not our Messiah, we don't know him. If we've been given authority, how do we use it? Do we use it for the good of those it's over? Or do we use that authority as old cats? Do we recognize that we ourselves are under authority? Or is it all just a sleepy game? The story is not a complete failure of vision. Even in the moments under the cross, there are those who are allowed to stand. The leaders of both the Jews and the Gentiles may have been blind. The disciples may have run. In Mark's story, one of those disciples, maybe the author himself, runs buck naked from the scene. They may have denied Jesus and sold him out. But there were also women looking on from a distance. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph the younger, or James the younger, and Salome. And from Galilee they had followed, along with many others. And there was Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council. And he himself took courage. From the lowest to the highest, from a distance to those near enough to have access even to Pilate, Christ maintains and sustains his witnesses. They would see and they would know. They would know where his body was laid, and they would know when that tomb would be empty. They saw the King of the Jews, and like the centurion, they saw the Son of God. They saw him in the palms entering into Jerusalem, and they saw him on the cross and in the tomb. The world will continue to act like an old cat, getting older each second and blinder, batting us around. But you who see, you know which one is the real king and which one is the tyrant. The tyrant always falls. The king returns when morning dawns and life to joy awakes. Amen.